All right, Alexandra, let's get to the Q&A from the live stream we did with Robert Barnes. Let's just jump right into the questions. From Joseph, does Putin need declaration of war to call up reserves, or does he only need such declaration for general mobilization?
He doesn't need a declaration of war. He can just decree it. He can simply say that there's a threat to Russia, and he has the power to simply order mobilization. He has repeatedly ruled this out, so let's not assume that this is going to happen. He doesn't need a declaration of war, either to order general mobilization or martial law or any of the things that are talking that have been talked about. But this has been categorically ruled out, and until and unless the situation changes, I can't imagine that this is on anybody's agenda.
Okay, from Red Pill Scholar, what's to happen to the economy? Second Great Depression?
I hope not, but not impossible. If we start to get into an interest rate increases at the same time as there's continued downward pressure on wages because of the inflation crisis, which, remember, is largely supply-based. And given the enormous amount of debt around, the excessive amount of leverage, then as I've said in other places, the recession could be grisly. Now, whether that would be an outright depression, that, frankly, I'm not even going to try and speculate about. But it could be very, very tough. The economic decision makers, the Fed and all of those, need to make some very careful decisions over the next few months. And given the shambles at the heart of power in the Biden administration and the fact that the president himself remains in denial, we can't be confident that the correct decisions will be made.
All right, Orlando Santos, thank you for that super chat. Tupac, thank you for that super sticker. Gordana, thank you for that super sticker. Warwagon, thank you for that super chat. Pinyamamba, thank you for that super sticker. Mark Hewitt says Ukraine first, then Taiwan, Kashmir next.
Yeah. Kashmir, I'm not quite sure where that falls into this whole list, but there is certainly a long-standing conflict in Kashmir, and I couldn't be surprised if our neocon, let's not call them friends, the neocons find some kind of devilry they can play there, specifically, especially if the Indian government refuses to do what they want them to do. I mean, the Indian government is refusing to go along with the sanctions war against Russia. And the latest word is that they're now working towards a massive, comprehensive economic trade partnership with Russia for cheap energy in return and also consumer goods and other things. So, don't underestimate the mischief the neocons could do, and Kashmir provides them with a wonderful opportunity to create that mischief if they choose to.
All right, Pinyamamba, thank you for that super sticker. Charlie says, is it just me or did Putin take longer than usual commemorating the hero cities of Sevastopol and Odessa after he laid their flowers on Victory Day?
I didn't think it took him longer. But it was very interesting, again, to see which, hero cities, because, of course, hero cities include Odessa and Kiev, I believe, amongst the others. And, of course, in his actual Victory Day speech, he was very careful to refer to Odessa, Kiev and Kharkiv amongst the cities where the fighting happened in the Second World War. Now, I think this is essentially another expression that they belong to the Russian world, the Ruski Mir, which is, of course, the concept that the Polish authorities are now committed to wanting to destroy.
All right. Trevelyn, thank you for that super chat. Ines Fad says, how do you build back better unless you destroy all first? If you understand the destruction of the West is being done purposefully, then it makes sense, all in line with the WEF.
Well, I'm not going to even comment on that very intelligent and insightful statement, other than to say that it is intelligent and insightful. I mean, building back better, as you absolutely correctly say, if you apply English grammar, implies destroying what was there before.
All right. Colbury, thank you for that super sticker. Megawatt, thank you for that super sticker. Eric, thank you for that super sticker. James Johnson says, how relevant is Quigley's The Evolution of Civilizations as a roadmap for elites to take down the West?
I haven't read it. I'm not familiar with it, so I'm not going to comment further. I mean, people bring up these things. I'm afraid I haven't read every book, and I'm not going to comment on it without getting some, you know, knowledge of this. Elites that bring down their own civilization doom themselves. That's the iron law of history. They may think that they're going to replace it with something that they will control, but they are invariably wrong.
All right, Emmanuel, thank you for that super chat. Grim FPV says, they expanded the NATO doctrine to keep USA in, Russia out, Germany and all European countries down.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on that. It's absolutely spot on.
RD Doctor says, turning Soviet republics into nation states failed.
Yes. I mean, look, let's not talk about all Soviet republics. I mean, Georgia is a nation. Armenia is a nation. You can talk about Georgia and Armenia being real nation states. I think in the case of Ukraine, it's not really worked. I'm frankly skeptical about Belarus in the long term. And in Central Asia, it's created many, many problems. Lenin's nationality policies have been a disaster. Putin has said as much. Stalin warned him that they would be. They had a major row about this in Lenin's last years. Lenin was incredibly dogmatic. He refused to listen to anybody who warned him that this would turn out badly. And now we see the result.
From Viva Frey, sorry for overlapping, gents, listening and catching up now. Godspeed. Thank you, Viva Frey.
Thank you.
Svinsted says, in Denmark, we get to vote next month on to keep or remove our defense reservation that we have with the EU. They play dirty and really want the EU army.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. And I mean, it'll be interesting to see what Denmark decides to do. And, of course, Denmark is an important country and it has important decisions to make. I mean, it's held off from the EU up to now. But I would also say that there are several people, and I know that there are people within the EU who think this, and, of course, the Russians absolutely think this. Well, they think that the Danish deep state, addressing somebody from Denmark, that the Danish deep state is very much a British-American Trojan horse within the EU anyway. So, we'll see what people in Denmark want to do and how that will work out.
Stephen Bateman says, America makes me sick.
No, it shouldn't make you sick. It shouldn't make you sick. It's still a great nation and a great country. I mean, there are lots of bad things there, but it should certainly not make you sick. It remains, for me, a place of hope, even if sometimes that hope is massively disappointed.
RDDR says, is Mr. Mercury familiar with Dominique Lacerda?
No, I'm not familiar with Dominique Lacerda. Who is Dominique Lacerda? You must let me know. send us an email about this person because I'm not sure who this person is. Sorry.
Chris Walford says, I always enjoy your program, guys. Alexander, please expand on what collapse of empire and reconstruction might look like and what we could expect to see when it happens.
If we get a collapse, by which I take it you mean the collapse of empire, the American empire. Well, what I would hope would happen, and what I actually believe will happen in that instance, is that the United States would eventually sort itself out. It remains a country with enormous assets. And it would hopefully, and this is, my hope, return to something much closer to the ideas that the founders, you know, people like Madison and Hamilton, perhaps more than others, had when the United States was created, Washington too, by the way, which was that, you know, it becomes a proper constitutional republic, minding its own affairs, focusing on the best interests of its people. In other words, America first. The enormous danger is that instead of that happening, what might happen is that, you know, as empire collapses, that will increase instabilities within the United States itself, create enormous tensions there, and might accelerate a downward spiral. Now, I don't believe that will happen, but the danger that that may happen is there. But one way or the other, it's for the American people to decide, and the American people need to decide, I think, and understand that empire, for most Americans, is not a source of benefit or a source of strength. It's a source of weakness and a burden.
Steve-O Polkakov says, can the populist movement in the USA gain enough power before it is too late? Unfortunately, I feel that unless USA is saved, the world will soon fall.
You're quite right about one thing, which is that the United States remains a pivotal country. I'm not going to say that, you know, if the United States goes down, everyone else goes down with it. I think that's, the world is big. The United States is only a part of the world, but the United States is a pivotal country. Whether the populist movement can get itself organized quickly enough and successfully enough in order to pull things round, well, that remains to be seen. I can't predict everything, nor can we on the Duran. It's, as I said, ultimately for Americans to decide. But at least there is a pushback in the United States. At least in the United States, there is a genuine opposition, such as you just don't see anywhere in Europe anymore, except to a certain extent in France, but very mildly in France, and of course in Hungary.
Zeshan, thank you for that super chat. Piano Man, thank you for that super sticker. Maria, thank you for that super sticker. 456T123G says, thank you to the three of my most trusted intelligences, the Prophet. And Red Pill Scholar says, what to make of Ukraine cutting off the gas flow?
Yes, I think this is a fascinating thing. There's been no coherent explanation from Ukraine about what it's doing. And by the way, as we're making this program, I've been reading about how the Germans are now furiously complaining that Russia is weaponizing gas because they've imposed sanctions on certain companies in Germany, which were formerly Russian companies, which the German government has confiscated. But of course, they're saying nothing about what Ukraine is doing. I think what Ukraine is doing is it is using its position as a transit state in order to exert leverage. And again, just prior to making this program now with Alex, I'm hearing news, for example, that the European Union is now seriously considering dropping the oil sanctions that it was going to place on Russia because there's simply too much opposition. So I think Ukraine is signaling its displeasure, and I think that's partly what it's up to. But, you know, who's to say the Ukrainians have not given a coherent explanation? What it shows, again, is that Ukraine's position as a transit state cannot be trusted, but it's a lesson the Europeans and the West refuse to learn.
Yelena, thank you for that super chat. Tim Gibson says, they may cut back money, but as you can say, neocons have no reverse gear.
Mm-hmm. True.
True. OMG Puppy says, State Department, it took 10 years, but we almost have NATO and Russia war. Pentagon, wait, you did what?
Well, that's a very valid point. I mean, one does hope that as we get closer and closer to a crisis, the Pentagon will eventually do what it's not really always succeeded in doing, which is put on the brakes. The problem with soldiers, relying on soldiers in this kind of situation, is that the nature of soldiers is that they obey orders. So if they get an order from the president, you know, for them to simply say, no, Mr. President, we're not prepared to do that, that's not what they're trained for. That would be mutiny. That would violate their oath and their military military law. So that's why the Pentagon, that's why uniformed military people, to the extent that they're not neocons themselves and compromise themselves, which of course many are, but even the more rational amongst them find it very, very difficult to stop a slide. Having said that, they do have a great deal of influence, and perhaps if things do move to a crisis, they will exert it.
Rich, thank you for that super sticker. Yelena, thank you for that super chat. Jennifer Chang says, speaking about Taiwan, our premier said that if China invades, he will not run away, but stand firmly to fight against the People's Liberation Army, PLA, until the last broomstick.
Well, I mean, let's hope it doesn't come to that. And there isn't a war over Taiwan. With every day that passes, I have to say, the prospect of war grows. And in my opinion, it's not coming from Taiwan. It's not coming from China. It's coming from the neocons in the United States, who are deliberately goading the Chinese dragon.
Tomo Tom 73 says, is de-dollarization part of the World Economic Forum's Great Reset narrative?
I would have thought not, actually. I would have thought that for the moment, keeping some kind of reserve currency, and that would be the dollar, would work to their interests. After all, what exactly is there to replace it with for the time being? Perhaps in time they have a longer-term agenda to come up with something in its place. But for the moment, I think they would probably want to keep the dollar as the reserve currency. Bear in mind that when we talk about the dollar as a reserve currency, who controls the dollar? Who controls the way the dollar functions as a reserve currency? Not the American people, not the industrial class, the industrial, you know, conglomerates in the United States. It's debatable to what extent they benefit from the dollar being a reserve currency. It's certain people in the financial community. It's the Federal Reserve Board. It's the politicians, the political elite, who are able to print dollars and therefore cover their massive spendings. And ultimately, of course, all of these people are connected to the globalist project and, in the end, to the WEF.
Svensteed says, in my late teens, early 20th, it was Alex Jones. And now 2 years to 40, it's Robert the Hushmaster Barnes, OFC. Shout out to the two Greeks.
Well, there you go.
Thank you very much for that. Yelena Vidovich says, hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times, and good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times. This is by far the weakest leaders we have ever had in the collective West. Thank you very much for that.
Yelena, I agree with both. Wayne says, I agree both with the cyclical point and with the last observation.
Wayne says, Biden is currently live on USA Today here on YT. He has 37 viewing. Just saying, P.S., great to be hearing. Robert Barnes cutting up the BS and supporting everything AAA have been saying for so long. Thank you
37.
Very much, for that.
Is it really 37? I mean, we're getting a lot more than that. Yeah. Anyway, I may be misreading this. Carry on, Alex.
David S., thank you for that super sticker. Utnasen says, the major wars start before September ends, so before midterms. Economic collapse is also acknowledged when summer ends. September is the scariest month.
It is indeed. August, September, it's always been the scariest months, the scariest times. By the way, on the subject of war, I remember reading a while back that the major armor defenses, this is before the actual fighting started, it was a Chinese discussion about war in Ukraine, that the months when the Russians were most likely to start their big armor defensives was in June. That's and that this is all a build up to that. And that was said even before the actual start of the war. So who knows? So major armor defensives in June, perhaps, followed by something really nasty and ugly at the end of August, beginning of September. I hope not. But who, well, we'll just have to wait and see.
Martin KK says, wars create winners and losers. The winner rules at the cost of much suffering. However, teamwork, partnership, and friendship create peace and a fruitful life for all involved. Love your broadcasts. Highlight to the day.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Thank
you. Summer of 1970, thank you for that super sticker. Oxville, thank you for that super sticker. Warwagon says, what are we going to do? Send in the My Two Mommies Armored Division? Thank you very much for that, Warwagon. Brian Halcott says, Robert's rules, one person talks at a time. Thank you very much for that, Brian. Bauke Jean says, UN Security Council President last month, UK this month, US next month, Albania followed by Brazil and China in August.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting sequence. The West has an inbuilt majority on the Security Council. Never forget that. But it doesn't control it.
Yov says, Ukraine calls force majeure and halts one-third of European gas.
Mm, we've discussed this.
Sure. Warwagon says, newsflash, if we don't fight them over there, we won't have to fight them over here.
Yeah, I mean, it's always the story. Thank you for that. They always come up with.
Yeah. Veteran support, thank you for that super chat. Paul Mansell, thank you for that super sticker. Yaroslav says, please, Duran, enable emojis on comments on your channel. If we have that feature, we'll add it. Yaroslav says, also, please enable emojis on comments on Telegram as well. I'll try. Cheers from Czech Republic. Thank you very much, Yaroslav, for that. I'll look into it. Lana A. Zenkova says, Big Putin announced he has been... Big Putin announced has been that we mourn every loss and the family of the fallen will be taken care of by the government and communities.
Well, indeed. I mean, but this is what war leaders have always say, and it's part of war. Remember Lincoln's second inaugural address about, you know, how we will look after, you know, the widow and the orphan of those who fell in the battle, almost his last words, just after he says, you know, with malice towards none, with charity for all. I'm not saying Putin has Lincoln's grasp of rhetoric, but it's the same sentiment.
RS says the Patriarch of Constantinople has just recognized the schismatics in Macedonia. Is this a power move like Ukraine, or is this genuine? How will the Greeks receive it?
Well, it's both. I mean, it's both a power move and it's genuine. The question is whether it will be accepted by the local believers in Macedonia. In Ukraine, it wasn't. I mean, the Ukrainian schismatic church never really got going. And whether it will this time in Macedonia, who knows? Montenegro, I suspect, will be next.
Bakuda Matata says, someone sulky liver sausage tonight. Thank you very much for that, Bakuda. Cactus Ray, thank you for that super... sticker. Jamila, thank you for that super sticker. Mr. Tommy 0201, thank you for that super chat. Ralph says, draft POTUS decision is about restoring rights to the states as provided by the Constitution, not about abortion, contrary to the ubiquitous, ignorant, in my opinion, dialogue. Thanks for your work today.
You are absolutely dead right. Now, we're not going to say more about this on a program which appears on YouTube, because obviously we have to be careful what we say about this whole discussion. But you are absolutely entirely right.
Joy, thank you for that super chat. Ola Michelson, thank you from Norway. Tom Bear says, the grift that keeps on grifting. Daniela, thank you for that super sticker. Nathan says, Bush stole 2000. Dems are bad, but the GOP is delusional and SCOTUS doesn't represent the U.S. population. No one here supports unlimited campaign cash.
Well, I think that you're referring back to the decision that was made, and I can't remember the name of the case, some years back, which Antonin Scalia was very associated with, which basically allows corporations to fund to an unlimited extent political campaigns. Now, I'm not an expert on U.S. constitutional law. I thought that was an unfortunate decision. I'm not sure how well-founded it is constitutionally, and I'm not going to discuss it further. But campaign contributions from corporates have been a disaster in the United States. Of course, the great paradox is that the people who are benefiting from those disproportionately are not Republicans. They are Democrats. It's the Democrats who've been getting the big donations.
Sassy Pants says, is it possible that Ukraine is regrifting? Biden has been draining money out of that country for years.
Well, of course, it's exactly what he's doing. And, you know, he's going to throw $40 billion, or at least he's going to try. I mean, Rand Paul has sort of put something of a spoke in the works about this, but, you know, we'll see how far that goes. But, I mean, this is what's going to happen. You know, money goes in, money goes straight out. Most of it ends up in Washington or in London or in Brussels or wherever, and goes straight into accounts in the Turks and Caicos and all the, and, you know, the Cayman Islands and all these places. And none of it really goes, or very little of it actually goes back to Ukraine. And I'm sure that some of the people who are behind this package know that perfectly well.
Lucy, I thank you for that super sticker. Mstral, thank you for that super chat. Vado says, is there a legal path to secession in the US?
No, I don't think there is. Now, I mean, that's my understanding of it. I mean, Lincoln essentially said it's unconstitutional. Secession is unconstitutional. There was a civil war, which was specifically on that issue. And the North, which ruled out secession, won. So unless you can somehow unravel all of that and reestablish the arguments that the people in the Confederacy had, which I think is debatable, actually, now, because, you know, we've got all 100 plus years, well, more 150 years of it going in the other direction. I think it's going to be incredibly difficult to argue today that secession from the Union is constitutional.
Zukski says, parasites killing the host is how I see it. Am I wrong? Great stream. Thanks all.
No, you're absolutely right. You see it very well.
From Tony Neves, does Robert know if Lindsay will get taken out?
I'm sure he doesn't. When I next speak to him, which is fairly often now, I'll ask him. But I'm sure he doesn't know.
Piano Man, thank you for that super sticker. Gerald Armstrong says, Youngkin could have done something, but chose not to.
Yeah, possibly.
Cryosynth 42 says, a job, a pregnancy, your bodies are a game piece to them. They don't care about the product placed within, only their gains.
I fundamentally agree. I think this is really all about power, not about rights. And I think people need to understand that. And I think this is ultimately what this is all about. It is manipulation of feelings and attitudes in order to aggrandize power.
Sparky says, millennial generation is the most obedient to authority generation in U.S. history. They may know the Bill of Rights, but have no appreciation of it.
Well, because it's always, I mean, they have not been, perhaps, now, I haven't been to the United States for a while, so I can't really say, but I get the sense that, you know, people are not as versed in this as they used to be in the United States, perhaps because the educational system isn't really geared to educating Americans about it. I still think that as people grow older, as they, you know, imbue, if you like, the realities of American life, I think they will eventually become more concerned and conscious about these things.
Kathy, thank you for that super sticker. Carlota, thank you for that super chat. Wishbone says, Ukrainian stay-and-fight order in the East is from NATO's original strategy, which always was to entrench and stall the Russians as long as possible and win the war through economic sanctions.
I agree with that. You know, I think you're absolutely spot on. I think what's happened is that Ukraine's taken a lot of advice from NATO. It's also, by the way, it's become very clear, received far more military aid from NATO over the 8 years preceding the war than was ever admitted to. And I think it's taken some of these doctrinal ideas from NATO, which you're absolutely correct in saying, whilst during the Cold War, required NATO to stand and fight in Germany, along the Oder-Neisse line, even if it was militarily impossible to do so because of the political imperatives. And I think that the Ukrainians are to some extent following this, but don't underestimate also the sheer amateurism of the Zelensky government. They don't want to give ground because amateurs find it very, very difficult to make decisions which might appear to lose face. So ordering retreats is not something they are really happy or find easy to do.
The engaged few says, would it be legal for POTUS to issue an executive order directing the IRS to disregard wages and salaries as income for purposes of taxation?
This is exactly the kind of topic which Robert, who is, after all, a superb tax lawyer, is best equipped to answer. I'm going to venture my own guess, which is no, but I don't think he can. I think that would certainly infringe on all kinds of powers possessed by the states, and it would almost certainly be illegal in terms of existing US statutory law, which is extensive. So I don't think he could just issue an executive order to do that. I think, as I said, it would override what I'm sure are acts of Congress. But, you know, again, when I next speak to Robert, I will ask him.
Gerald Armstrong says, US and UK are majoritarian electoral systems. That isn't ideal for third parties.
Well, can I just say, that's absolutely true of Britain. It was not historically true of the US. The US system was designed not to be majoritarian. That was why you have the division of powers. That's why you have the Supreme Court. That's why you have ultimately the Constitution. Now, to the extent that it has become majoritarian, that again violates the thinking of the founders.
Poppy, thank you for that super sticker. George, thank you for that super sticker. Scott says the SCOTUS protesters will never be held account because laws don't apply to the left.
Yeah, absolutely. You're completely right. I mean, what more to say? I mean, you know, it's shocking. It's deeply disturbing. It's, as Robert explained, violates all kinds of laws. It's criminal. These are crimes. But, you know, nobody's going to be arrested. Nobody's going to be charged. I mean, if you trespass into a certain building in Washington to protest a political move, well, you know, you get everything thrown at you. But if you harass a judge, apparently not.
Bauke says the spark of the totalitarianism has lit up again in Germany. One wonders if there's any debate going on there.
My understanding is that in Germany there has been a sharp shift of opinion over the last few weeks as economic conditions deteriorate there fast. But the political class, I think, is closing ranks and is refusing to heed this.
Adrian Hart says, can we get someone from Germany or France on the show?
Well, we can try. As I said, always remember what we've said on many occasions. We can look around for guests, but there's only two of us and there's limits to what we can do. We are planning moves to, you know, expand our reach, if you like. But that in itself requires time and effort from us. And, you know, we will get there. But, you know, have patience with us, please.
George, thank you for that super sticker. Moromoto, thank you for that super sticker. G-Dog says, is that the same U.S. Supreme Court that legalized corruption via Citizens United?
Yeah, I mean, that's the Scalia case that you're talking about. Well, it's not exactly the same Supreme Court. I mean, the lineup has changed. And we've got the three judges, for example, that Trump appointed, who were not part of that particular court. And I believe that there were other judges since then. So it's not exactly the same lineup. as I said, I'm not going to comment on the legality of Citizens United. I mean, I should point out, you can sometimes get judgments which are completely correct, entirely well-reasoned, that may be properly founded on law, and which you still think are unfortunate, to put it mildly, in their outcome. I suspect Citizens United is one such case. Now, in a functioning political system, it might be possible to find ways to address that through legislation, constitutional amendment, or whatever. In this partisan crisis that we have in the United States, those sort of things are impossible. But the function of the Supreme Court always is to administer the law and the Constitution, not to make it. So now, I say that it may be that I'm completely wrong and that Citizens United is wrong in law as well. But I have to say, it may be wrong morally or in its consequences, but it may still be correct in terms of its legal theory.
Sparky says Putin is an anti-globalist hero.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sparky, for that. Jane Lindsay, thank you for that super sticker. Dr. Freak, thank you for that super sticker. Sparky says, couldn't care less, not could care less. Thank you very much for that. Sparky, Steve-O says, what if Putin is on it with the WEF? Great reset plans, scary thought, and one that would make me forever disappointed.
I can't see it. I mean, would he really go to all this trouble? would he go into a situation where, you know, he's got war in Ukraine and they're talking about him being a war criminal and putting him on trial for war crimes? I mean, not going to happen, obviously, but I mean, you know, would he be taking all that on if he was really an agent of the WEF? I really don't believe it.
The engaged few said, considering how well China respected the One China, Two Systems agreement in regards to Hong Kong, Taiwan walking away from that might be a good thing.
Well, I understand the point. The only thing I would say is there's the issue between Taiwan and China, and then there is the role that the United States is playing. And if the United States is encouraging Taiwan to secede, to declare independence from China, or to declare de facto independence from China, then of course the danger is that it's provoking a reaction from China, which will be catastrophic for Taiwan. So the most important thing here is not, I think, to stress about what Taiwan and China do between each other. It's to worry about what the United States is doing. I say that because I don't get the impression that China has any particular desire to go to war over Taiwan, and that if there wasn't this aggravation from the United States, or rather from the neocons in the United States, this thing would be allowed to fester along.
Boris, thank you for that super chat. Paul, thank you for that super chat. Motomoto, thank you for that super chat. Yamza, thank you for that super sticker. LeChat, thank you for that super chat. And Alexander says, best show on the internet. They killing the real concept of freedom of the press. I hope Julian Assange, the hero, gets his victory day. Get David Icke on.
Well, lots of points there. But can I just say, I mean, on Julian Assange, you're absolutely right. I hope so too. But I've come to the conclusion that's going to happen in the United States, not in Britain. I say that with great sorrow because Britain is my country. But I am very disappointed by the conduct of the courts here.
Zook Zooksy, thank you for that super sticker. CSK, thank you for that super sticker. Michael, thank you for that super sticker. Radovid, thank you for that super sticker. Rich says, the U.S. military has no capacity to win against the Russian military. They will be obliterated if they intervene in any way and will have their biggest casualties ever suffered. Kinjal's Zircon are enough.
I basically agree with this. I think people in the Pentagon are utterly horrified at the idea and would certainly oppose it. But does the empty suit in the Oval Office think like that? And do the pack of neocons who surround him think like that too? That's the worry.
Olga says Biden spoke about strategic win. It looks like a win for the U.S. to get Sweden and Finland to NATO, for Macron to get Ukraine, Moldova, Georgia as almost EU members, and for Russia to get the land.
I don't think it's going to work out like this. I mean, first of all, bringing Finland and Sweden into NATO, I was reading a good piece by Anatole Levin on this. And Anatole Levin has not been, in my opinion, particularly good on the Ukraine war, which I don't think he really understands. But he's made the point that Sweden and Finland gain nothing from joining NATO. It's an actual reduction for them in their actual role. Then they will now become provinces, if you like, of the Euro-Atlantic system instead of actual states. I don't really see that NATO gains anything ultimately, despite what people say. I think it's going to take on a whole set of new obligations and responsibilities which are not going to help the NATO at all. And as for the United States, I am very much of the view that NATO is a burden and all of that. As for France, I don't think the French are going to get Ukraine into NATO, sorry, into the EU or any form of EU. The Russians have now said that they oppose it. They've come out clearly, no EU or anything approaching that for Ukraine. And of course, they've got their boots on the ground. And I'm sure sooner or later they will make that stick.
Bulakov says, in my defense of Russia amongst friends, an inconvenient counter was presented. Denis Pushilin pinning a medal on the chest of a militiaman with an NAZI emblem. Easy to find via Google.
Insights, I know, I've heard about this, and it was a I'm not entirely sure what to make of that photo, but it was a disastrous mistake. But look, let's not make comparisons. There may have been one or two, there may be some people like that on the Russian side, but they are not an organized force in the way that they are on the Ukrainian side. There is no equivalent in Russia or in the DPR of Azov, Aidar, Right Sector, or any of these groups.
Pasha says, Alexander, your dog looked very happy entering the room. It brought a smile to my face.
Thank you very much. That was Solveig, the girl, by the way.
And that is everything. Thank you very much for your questions. The Durant Shop, 10% off when you use the code GOODDAY. And check out the durant.locals.com. Thank you.